I'm old, first of all, so I'm old, and my favorite sitcom of all time is, or was, I guess now, Seinfeld. And I don't, you know, if you don't like Seinfeld, or if your all-time favorite is something else, if it's The Office or The Big Bang Theory, I'm not going to bother arguing with you. It's a matter of taste, and if you don't have any, I can't do anything for you. But if you're old like me, you'll recall that Seinfeld was famously a show about nothing. In fact, Jerry Seinfeld, when he created the show, his motto was, no hugging, no learning. That's not going to be the show. No hugging, no learning. And it was a show that was really never really about, you know, anything specific. It was Jerry, who was a stand-up comic in real life and in the show, and a couple of his friends and a wacky neighbor. And they just kind of hung out and did, well, nothing. This evening, I want to preach about nothing. But unlike the show, this nothing that I want to talk about means everything. In the reading, in the gospel reading that we heard, they talk about that first Easter morning. And Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, the other women going in to the tomb, to the emptiness of the tomb. And they discovered what emptiness was. They discovered what nothing meant. And it changed their lives forever. Discovering that nothing was in the tomb is the beginning of something amazing. It began their understanding of what Scripture had foretold and what Jesus had talked about all along. That he, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, must be put to death for our sins, and that he would rise again. The disciples, they didn't want to face up to Jesus' death. They didn't want to face up to their own mortality. And there's nothing different than us today. We're the same way. We don't really want to actually face up to our own mortality. The other day, one of our staff members here was sharing me the story about his grandmother's death. He shared how his Nona, who was a faithful Catholic all her life, did everything she could at the end of her life to avoid facing up to her own death. She even refused the sacrament of the sick because to her it was last rites. That would be admitting her own mortality, her own frailness, her own nothingness in the face of the inevitable. And she was right. Facing our own mortality is admitting that we don't control everything. That in the face of it, we are nothing. At least on our own, we are nothing. In the gospel, the disciples had placed their hope in Jesus. They loved him, and now he was dead. All their grandiose hopes and dreams for the Messiah had come to nothing. And so seeing that nothing is in the tomb is the moment when it first dawns on them that Jesus saying he would rise from the dead, that wasn't just hyperbole or a figure of speech. Mary Magdalene sees the empty tomb first and hurries away to tell the other disciples because she thinks the Romans or someone has stolen the body. Peter and John run back to see the empty tomb. And when they go into the emptiness, they see that there is nothing there except the linen wrappings used to wrap Jesus' body. And that becomes the glimmer of hope. Hope that Jesus, who said he would rise from the dead, might actually have done what he said he would do. Hope that death didn't mean a failure for the Messiah. It didn't mean the end. Hope that they might see their friend again. Slowly, the disciples begin to understand the magnitude of the meaning of that nothingness that they are experiencing. By entering into the empty tomb, by entering into the despair they must have felt. After all, not only had they seen this man they loved be condemned and crucified, the man whom they thought was the savior of his people, and now they thought someone had come and desecrated the grave. But by taking the bold step of actually entering into the nothingness of the tomb, they're able to comprehend what they would see later on that day when Jesus appears to his disciples. When Jesus walked through the walls of the closed room and appears for the first time to the disciples who were assembled there. If they hadn't gone that morning to see that nothing was in the tomb, Jesus's appearance later that day would have been taken as a ghost, a delusion. But because they were willing to enter into the emptiness, they were able to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. The linens lying there could only mean that his body wasn't stolen. They would have taken those as well. Something else was going on. Peter, Mary, John, all the others had to come to enter into the nothingness of that tomb before they could rejoice in the resurrection. And nothing seems like a strange place to begin, but biblically speaking, nothing is the start of everything good. Last night at the Easter Vigil, when we begin this great liturgy and we hear all these readings from the Old Testament, it begins with the account of creation. And in that account of creation, we see that God creates the world out of nothing. And it says in Scripture that when he created this out of nothing, he saw that it was good. And God creates us, men and women, out of nothing. He creates us in his image and likeness. And in the Scripture it says he saw that it was very good. Jesus conquers death, reconciles us with the Father out of the nothingness of the tomb. And the disciples, well, they will see this as very, very good. They begin to realize that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Finding nothing in the tomb gave those who loved Jesus hope. Hope that Jesus, who had brought them so much joy, so much peace, so much hope in their life, it brought them hope for the future, hope for the world. It brought them hope that his story didn't end on the cross. Jesus wasn't finished with us. He hadn't abandoned his disciples. He hasn't abandoned us. His death was taking our sinfulness, our nothingness, into the tomb with him. And his resurrection means that it doesn't end there. Like the linens that are left behind, our sinfulness stays in the tomb, while we are free to rise with Jesus after death. The life-changing encounter with the risen Jesus, this cannot be thought of as the privilege of a few. It can't be just thought of as for Mary, Peter, John, the other disciples. It is an invitation to all of us. Pope Francis wrote, "I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ, or at least an openness to letting him encounter them. I ask all of you to do this unfailingly each day. No one should think that this invitation is not meant for him or her, since no one is excluded from the joy brought by the Lord." No one is excluded. A few weeks ago, I went to the Dominican Republic with a group of high school kids, and this experience that we had is eye-opening. It's eye-opening. We saw poverty. We met Haitian migrant workers in the sugarcane fields who were treated just a little bit better than slave labor. We saw children who live in shanty towns and slums, and we saw them running around having fun, playing with a kite that was made of a plastic bag and some straws. We lived with families whose homes don't have hot water, who only have running water part of the day, who have electricity only part of the day. We lived with kids who don't have allowances or closets full of clothes, much less iPads or Xboxes. We met people who, by our definition, have nothing, yet were full of life and joy. I've been on this trip 4 times. And every time, people are taken aback by the poverty. But what surprises people the most is the joy that they experience there, the joy that is shared with them from the people. It's not what people lack. It's the joy that they have and that they are willing to share. We met people who are happy to open up their homes and share what little they did have with us. We met young Dominican guides who every morning on the bus would begin the day by thanking God for the day, asking for his help and guidance, and then get us to join with them in singing a song that praised God for transforming their hearts. These are people who had nothing, at least by our standards, and were full of joy, hope, love. Why? I think it's because they understand their poverty. They don't find shame in being poor. They don't hide from it the way we often do. They know, because of it, that life is fragile, precarious. And they know that they need a savior. And they found him in Jesus Christ. Not a savior from the material poverty, but a savior from despair, from hatred, a savior whose liberation from sin and the promise of eternal life allows them to find joy and hope in the midst of their poverty. This is the same savior who brought hope and joy to his disciples, who were filled with fear and despair until they entered the nothingness of the tomb. And there they found hope. Hope that they would see Jesus again, that death was not the end. Can we enter into our poverty? Are we willing to enter into our nothingness? Can we? Can we recognize our own emptiness in the face of death? Can we divorce ourselves, at least metaphorically, from the things we have, the things we do, the things we own? Can we let go of all those things that we hold on to, our pride, our ego, our need to control everything? Can we recognize our emptiness? Can we recognize our own mortality? Can we recognize that at the end of life, we will all be fragile, be poor, and have nothing we have is going to be adequate to get us through that? If you don't believe me about our own mortality and our own helplessness in the face of it, take it from Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld had this bit where he talked about how the first birthday party you ever go to, your own first birthday party and your own last birthday party, how they're almost exactly alike. At your first birthday party and your last birthday party, he says, you know, you're somebody else has to gather all your friends together. You can't do it yourself. You don't even know there's a party happening. You're the least excited person at that birthday party. And your first birthday party and your last birthday party, you need help. You can't even blow out the candles yourself. We are, all of us, helpless in front of our own mortality. None of us are going to escape that. Are we open to encountering the one who has gone before us, who has entered into the tomb and has left it empty, has resurrected, the one who died and rose again so that we might live with him forever, Are we open to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ? Or are we at least open to letting him encounter us? We have to embrace our nothingness, and we have to let Christ fill the void.